Well, good evening. How's everyone doing? So you guys are the summer faithful. It's good to see you guys here. I just want to welcome you to our 2018 summer series. For those of you who don't know me, I'm sure everyone does, but if you don't know me, my name is Joe, and I'm the assistant pastor here at Jericho Road Christian Fellowship. We titled the summer series this year, Beyond Measure, and we're hoping to show how our God is a God who gives beyond measure, whatever it may be. And we picked this term from a phrase we found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says this, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us." And it's that term, guys, exceedingly abundantly. That's where we get our title for our summer series, Beyond Measure, that God is a God who gives beyond measure. He gives exceedingly abundantly. Amen to that? So we're going to be diving into that. Why don't we pray and we'll get started here. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, and just thinking upon your goodness, God. And your goodness alone is enough to make our hearts cry out in worship and praise. Father, but you are so much more than that, Lord. And you are many sides, Lord, as the word says, your multi-sided grace, Lord. It's amazing to think of just the wonder that you are, Father. And I just pray that tonight, as we dive into your word, as we pull out these spiritual truths, Lord God, that we would receive them with meekness, and that we'd allow you to work in us, Lord, that we'd be more than just hearers of your word, but doers of your word, Lord God. We thank you, and to your glory we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So yeah, this term, beyond measure, we find it so many places where it shows that our God is a God who gives beyond measure. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge." And it goes on, "that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant." John chapter 15, verse 11, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." And so, you know, I can continue doing this all night, you know, but our God is a beyond measure God. And when you think about how he brought Israel out of slavery from Egypt, he didn't bring them to an empty land. He brought them to a land that was already flowing with milk and honey. You know, he brought them to a land that was filled already with food for them and cities and fortified walls. They just had to go in and receive what God offered them. And in the same token, guys, when God brings us into salvation, he doesn't start you off empty-handed. He doesn't start you off with nothing and then you have to work at it to get more. But instead, it's the opposite. God brings us into everything that we need right from the get-go. It's an awesome thing. God lavishly pours out on us his spiritual riches in Christ Jesus, whether it be his peace, whether it be his wisdom, his power, his forgiveness. He lavishly gives to his children beyond measure. And he's able to do this because of grace. And so we wanted to start off this summer series with that topic, grace beyond measure. That's what I want to talk to you about today. And so if you could turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, we'll start there. Grace beyond measure. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. And many of you who are familiar with this passage probably already thought about this if you knew that the topic was about God's grace. It starts off in verse 4, it says this, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, I remember when I first got saved at the age of 16, I was intrigued by this notion of God's grace because I was a horrible sinner. And I was so glad that I could come to the Lord as I was, that he would take me as I am, but not leave me as I am. That he would take me as I am and then begin to work in me. And it was interesting. I didn't quite understand it because it's a hard concept for humanity. We've grown up realizing and knowing that we kind of have to earn whatever we get. You know, we have to earn it. You know, if we make a mess, we have to clean it up. If you want a reward, you got to kind of earn that reward. And so it's a hard concept to get this term grace. And I remember even older Christians that I looked up to. For instance, I remember a person, I remember hearing someone a bit older than me tell me about how on their way to work that morning that they got a flat tire. And the way they finished off that story, they said this. They said, it was because I didn't spend time with God this morning. You know, like, so they were implying that the reason why they didn't get that they got a flat tire was because God was out to get them for not obeying him. And if they would have obeyed God and spent time with him that morning, then God would have blessed them and protected them from that flat tire. Maybe even gave them more green light so they get to work earlier, you know. But as you guys know, that's not how God's grace works. That sort of thinking is someone who is living in a legalistic relationship with God. A legalistic relationship is a hard one, and it's going to get you thinking of God all wrong. But it can happen so easily. I think even as mature Christians, we have to be reminded about grace often. We begin to start thinking that it's by our merits that we've earned our way before God. You know, we begin to think, because I've spent all this time serving him, I deserve a better life, or I don't deserve for my child to go through this, you know, horrible thing that they're going through, because, Lord, I've been serving you this whole time. And we begin to think these things, and what I think what happens with a legalistic relationship is that it begins to confuse us about who God truly is. And it's kind of funny if you think about it, because in a legalistic relationship, when something good happens, you begin to get your eyes on yourself. You begin to think like, oh, you know, it was because I serve the Lord. It's because I go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, and because I do these things that God has blessed me. And then when it's something bad, we put our eyes on God and we get mad. God, why would you do this? Or confused. God, how could this happen? You know, I thought I was serving you. Why did you allow this to happen to me? I don't deserve this. I'm obeying you. I don't understand. And it begins to make one confused about your standing with God. It leaves one feeling guilty, condemned, always wondering, am I saved? What did I do wrong? Why is this happening to me? Why are these bad things happening to a good person, you know? But that is not the grace of God, my friends. Because the definition of God's grace is very simple. It's God's unmerited favor toward you. God's unmerited favor toward you. The foundation of grace is that we don't earn it and we don't deserve it, but it's simply given to us because of Jesus Christ. In fact, a great acronym, many of you have probably heard this, but I love it, and so I'm going to say it tonight. A great acronym to help you remember what God's grace is this. You ready? So G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. And it's a beautiful acronym because it helps us understand. It tells us what God's grace is. It's God's riches. And it tells us how God's grace works at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. And so those are the two points that I want to talk with you about tonight and remind you of, that we might walk in the freedom and the fullness of what God has for us. And so that first point, what God's grace is, God's riches, I want to bring that up with you. You hear a lot of Christians talking about God's grace as only, at least it seems they think it means only forgiveness. You know, oh, praise God for His grace that I'm forgiven, you know, and they kind of like, they kind of use that terminology together almost simultaneously, like God's grace is only forgiveness. And sometimes I wonder if that's all they think that God's grace is, that we are forgiven and that's it. And although it's true that by God's grace we are forgiven, I want to remind us that there is so much more wrapped up in God's grace. God's grace is all of God's riches. It's all of God's spiritual blessings given to every believer. It's given to every person that has put their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says this. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And if you look at that scripture, it's saying it in a past tense. God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so this scripture, guys, it's letting us know that the moment that we are saved, God has already given us everything that we need to succeed in this Christian walk. We don't need to go earn it somehow. We don't have to go and conjure up power or conjure up wisdom or even righteousness, but we're given righteousness. We're given wisdom in Jesus Christ right at the very beginning and the moment that we receive Him as Lord and Savior. By grace, we are put into Christ Jesus, and in Christ Jesus, we have everything we need. And just as Israel walked into the promised land that was already flowing with food, already flowing with milk and honey, and even so, guys, we walk into salvation with everything that we already need. It's a pretty awesome thing to understand. It's a pretty awesome notion, a truth to live from, that God has already given us everything we need. For instance, the moment that we receive salvation, the moment we receive salvation is the moment that God makes us 100% completely righteous. Isn't that crazy to think about? Isn't that pretty interesting? That means someone who was just living in sin, I mean, just the most heinous sinner you can think of, walks in this door and gives their life to Jesus, and guess what? Whether you think it's fair or not, they have just become 100% righteous. They are purely righteous just as much as you are, even though you've been serving here at the church faithfully for so many odd years. God makes us righteous at the very moment of salvation. We become as righteous as we can ever be. And you can't make that any less, and you can't make that any more as you continue in your walk in Christ. That's a pretty awesome thing to know. The moment we receive salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us so that He can lead us and teach us. He doesn't just, you know, well, you know, you have to kind of work it up and then I can start coming in more, you know, but for now it's Sundays and Wednesdays only, you know. It doesn't work like that. No, He comes to live and dwell in you and lead you and teach you at the moment of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, as we read earlier, it says this, I want to bring it out again, that in the ages to come, God might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in us, in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So God's goal is to show us the exceeding riches of His grace. To show us the riches of His grace beyond measure. That's what that word means, exceeding, right? Beyond measure. It's beyond any type of measure. So God wants to show the riches of His grace to us beyond measure. And so it's a great thing when a believer realizes that not only does God supply you with what you need for your Christian walk, but He gives it to you beyond measure, that He has so much to offer you that we can't even ask. We can never ask for more than what He has. He always has more than what we need. He doesn't just give to your capacity, but He exceeds your capacity. He overflows your cup. And so if you need forgiveness, you know, there can never be a day where you said, man, I've just done too many sins. I've asked for forgiveness too many times. He can't forgive me anymore. That just doesn't make any sense. 1 John chapter 2 tells us that Jesus Himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And you can sense that God wants you to know that He has more forgiveness than you can ever ask for. If you need wisdom, James chapter 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. So God gives beyond measure. Is there a ministry or service given to you and you feel that you're incapable of doing? Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20 says this, that, or verse 21 says that God will make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so the grace of God is beyond measure toward us. And so the earlier illustration that I gave you guys of that person thinking that the flat tire was God trying to get her because of her disobedience is totally false. It's totally false. God doesn't bless you or punish you based on your merits, but rather He blesses us because of what Christ has already done. He forgives us because Christ already paid for those sins. Isn't that awesome to know that? That Christ literally paid for those sins. It isn't like God waves a magic wand and just says, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to forgive you. No, He pays. Jesus paid for those sins. You can ask for forgiveness. They've been paid for already. He gives us righteousness. Why? Because Christ lived righteously. And so because of Christ, we receive all these things. And so we move to our last point, which is how God's grace works. It's God's riches, but it's at Christ's expense. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's because of what Christ has done that we receive these amazing riches. And Pastor Chuck Smith, he said that grace is a simple, well-worn, but rarely understood word. I can still recall to this day, just a few years back, a morning where I woke up late and in a hurry, and I just committed to God that I was going to read 5 to 10 chapters of the Word of God every morning before work. I don't know why I did that, but you know, I decided to do that and committed to it. But because I was so late, I couldn't even read one chapter. You know, I had to get out of bed. I had to quickly hurry and get off to work. And I was so disappointed in myself. I was so upset because only a few days into my new commitment with God and I already broke it. And so when I got in my truck, instead of spending my drive time talking with God as I usually do, I was embarrassed. And so I was like, oh, I can't come before Him right now. And so I turned on the radio instead. And then the very next day, I remember waking up early, real early. And I purposed not only to read 10 chapters, but I was going to read even more than that, you know, to kind of make up for the day before. And so there I was reading my 10 chapters and reading even more. And I felt so good. I mean, obviously it feels great to read the Word of God, to get the truth from God, right? I felt so good about myself, and I jumped in my truck, and even with a smile, I thought, oh man, I'm going to have a great conversation with God this morning. The whole time not realizing where I was basing my worthiness of coming before God. And as I began to pray, I could hear the Lord saying, you know, why do you think that you can come to my throne room and speak to me? Because deep down inside, I knew that the reason why I felt worthy to come to his throne room was because I read so much of his word that morning. Like, I earned it. I deserved it. And I could hear the Lord speak to me, saying, simply by the blood of Jesus, are you ever able to enter my throne room? You had every right to pray to me yesterday as you do today. And that's just an amazing concept to think. There is never a moment where you can be less righteous than you are today. There's never a moment where you deserve less to be in God's presence than you do today. You deserve to be in God's presence because of Jesus Christ. Not because of your own merits, but because of what Christ has done. We are able to come boldly before the throne of grace. We're able to cry out to our God. It's kind of cool to think about that, right? It takes like the fear out. It's so refreshing. It's like, wow, it's all given to me already. And so our good deeds cannot get us any closer to God or give us more of God's grace than we have at the very first moment of salvation. It's not because of what I accomplished, but what Jesus accomplished. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's God's undeserved favor because of what Christ has done. And now think about what that means for us. If God's grace is given to me based on what Christ has already accomplished 2,000 years ago, okay, then that means that I can do nothing to take away God's grace. Romans 11 verse 6 says, and if by grace then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. It's a very simple concept, right? If by grace then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. Jesus has accomplished it. We receive these things because of Christ and because of Christ alone. It means that I have the same riches of God's grace as any other believer, even those who I think are godlier than me. I have the same blessings and riches, spiritual blessings of God given to me, ready to be offered to me. It means that all that I truly need, I already have in Christ. I just need to learn to ask, to trust, and to walk in the riches of God's grace. It means that, in actuality, I really need to quit trying to live this life in my own strength. And why? I mean, we have God's grace. We have the riches. We have every spiritual blessing offered to us in Christ Jesus. So let's put aside, you know, our silly self-righteous works. Let's put aside, you know, this concept that we're trying to earn our way to God and instead embrace the freedom and the joy and the transformative power that comes from walking in and resting in the grace of God, allowing God to do the work in our lives. And so because of Jesus, we are saved. Because of Jesus, we can boldly enter the throne room and speak with God. And because of Jesus, we're forgiven. And because of Jesus, we have the strength and the ability to have victory over sin and walk in godliness. Now, we're trying to make these summer series a little shorter so that you guys have more time to hang out with each other or whatever we do in the summertime. And so, as I close, I just want to say this. It's amazing what God's grace does in us, you know, when we understand that it's this grace beyond measure. Although this takes away the fear, as it does, it takes away the fear of having to earn the spiritual blessings of God. We don't have to do that. They're already given to us in Christ Jesus. Although it takes away the fear, it should also take away your excuse that you are incapable of doing what God has set before you. Because He's given you everything you need. He's given you the strength and the power and the wisdom. He's given you His Holy Spirit. He's given you everything you need, but you need to learn, we need to learn, to continue to walk and trust in Christ Jesus. It's a pretty awesome thing. God's grace takes away the fear. It takes away the excuse. Of course, we're incapable of doing it ourselves, but God has poured out his riches of his grace in our lives, and through Jesus Christ, we are more than able to live in the fullness of what God has called us to. And so because of God's grace, we have no fear and we have no excuses. And I just encourage you guys, you know, like, let's live in the fullness of what God wants us to live in. What has he called you to do? Know that he will enable you to do what he's called you to do. If he's given you a dream or a vision, a desire for something, test it out. Take that step of faith and walk in it, and you're going to experience the fullness of God as never before, because that it's in that very weakness that we rely even more upon the Lord, and we get to see his strength in our lives. And as I end, let me say this. A pastor friend said this about grace. He said, "I spent my childhood living under God in fear of messing up, in fear that he was out to get me. And then I spent my adolescence living for God, trying to earn his favor, trying to earn my way before him." He says, "I am now learning to live with God, simply walking and resting in the exceeding riches of his grace." So guys, we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But because of Christ and his great love for us, God has poured out his grace upon us beyond measure. And so let us walk in that freedom and the joy of this awesome truth that God has given us everything already. Amen. Amen. That's what I have for you tonight. So why don't we pray? And let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, as we think upon these things. Lord, may your grace, may we continue to trust in you. May we continue to allow your grace to abound in our lives. Obviously, your grace abounds, but may we accept it. May we receive it, Lord God. May you teach us, Lord, what it means to walk in your presence and rest in you and not in our own strength or in our own merits, Lord God. And Father, as we walk in grace, Lord, teach us. Teach us, Lord, to find our motive based in love rather than in, you know, having to earn something or anything like that, Lord God. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Mark to come up and lead us in one last song. Thank you guys for coming out. And we're going to continue the summer series on Beyond Measure. Please invite friends, invite people from our church who aren't here. And have a blessed summer.